The Great Lakes Compact Council is changing the way it reviews proposed water withdrawals and how its decisions can be appealed. But these newly announced changes aren't sitting well with Great Lakes mayors, Native tribes, and environmental groups. Let's talk about why as we welcome John Dickert. He's the former mayor of Racine and now president of the Great Lakes and St. Lawrence Cities Initiative. It's a coalition of 131 U.S. and Canadian mayors and local officials. Their goal is to protect and restore the Great Lakes and the St. Lawrence Seaway. John Dickert, the Compact Council consists of the governors and premiers of the Great Lakes region. What are the changes they announced last Thursday?
Well, the changes that they announced and we opposed were really dealing with trying to hold back some of the opportunities for the public to have their say on the changes that were going to be happening with withdrawals as they relate to the Great Lakes and St. Lawrence. The other thing was to add a new fee structure to people who were going to appeal any of the decisions on the withdrawals. There were a number of other items that are smaller items, but actually, instead of strengthening the compact so that it would be harder for people to withdraw water, actually allowed for the compact to be weaker in our estimation to allow applicants more access to the Great Lakes water, which we oppose.
Now, we on Stateside and on Michigan Radio covered that diversion request from the city of Waukesha that the council approved, which the mayors opposed, and it caused the mayors to demand a greater voice in the way diversion requests are handled. Do these changes at all allow for that greater say-so?
We withdrew our lawsuit in order to negotiate a better, stronger compact. And in essence, what we ended up getting was, well, first of all, we believe the mayors were ignored. And then the second piece is that they actually created a bill that weakened the compact in total. Now, when we talked about these issues, the thing that I brought up was that you took a proposal that was terrible and made it bad. And that's no reason to pass or move this through at this time. So we asked for a deferral, given the fact that the switch in the governors were from 5-3 Republican to 6-2 Democratic, which was pretty dramatic. One of the members agreed that it was a bad proposal, but they wanted to pass it through forward anyway. You know, we think that given the fact that we've had a dramatic sea change in leadership, coupled by the fact that this was a weaker piece of legislation, we thought this whole issue should have just stopped in its tracks and they should have deferred this until the new governors are put in play, but unfortunately that didn't happen.
And as you say, there are fees and it's changes in how these water withdrawal proposals are being received. I'm sure the council was asked why these changes happened. Did anyone explain the why to you?
Well, I think the first thing is that there was this strong baseline of only one public hearing should be held for each withdrawal application. And that's the first premise that we have a problem with, because the Great Lakes and St. Lawrence impact the 8 states and the 2 provinces, but they're only going to have one public opinion. They really never argued why that change was not made, other than the fact of saying if other people want to do it, they can hold a meeting on their own. That does not allow for transparency. The second piece, I think, and it probably is more important, is when you're having these public hearings, the public and the governors can hear not only the data and the testimony and the findings, but all the studies of how it will affect their community and other communities around them. That information is critical to us. And one of our arguments was that when new data comes out, because this is a process, when new data comes out, even if it's after the application, all of that data should be part of the summary brought to the governors. And that was even disapproved. So we have a real problem with transparency here, and nothing good happens in the dark of night.
And I know reporting about this is quoting Michigan's representative on the council, Grant Trigger, saying that failure to agree doesn't mean we didn't listen. He says the council is committed to keep on talking with stakeholders like the mayors, and that the council is committed to reducing concerns about withdrawals going forward. How do you react to that?
Well, first of all, we didn't see any of that. Compromise actually takes two people. And to simply say that since we were the lead organization that had this entire negotiation go on in the first place, and the mayors were ignored on every aspect that they were bringing to the table, means that you may have listened but didn't hear. The second thing is both the mayors and the Anishinaabeg Nation both admitted that having a second meeting when the new governors are in doesn't give us any confidence whatsoever, given the fact that we weren't listened to the first time, that we would be listened to the second time. Now, we believe that the new governors may have a different look on this. The problem is you passed on to them a bad piece of policy. So for our mayors, they're not only unhappy with the result, but they feel they were disrespected given the fact that this whole process started because of them, and they've been the lead group in trying to protect the Great Lakes and limit the amount of withdrawals.
And the proposal the mayors offered was flatly rejected by the council.
It was dissected and then rejected, correct. Why these things were dissected and not utilized, we just simply think that that was the will of the governors at the time. The change really is that, you know, the majority of those governors are gone. And so we look forward to working with a new team that may be looking differently on this.
John Dickert, president of the Great Lakes and St. Lawrence Cities Initiative. Thank you so much for speaking with us, John.
Thank you for your time.